just praise you and just thank you so much for this man of God and just how he really exudes the love of God, the love of Christ to all who meets him. And just thank you for his gracious heart. We just continue to pray blessings upon him, double portion of your anointing, your favor, your wisdom this year, Lord, and that you will continue to expand his horizons, bring him to new heights and new levels in his ministry, Lord, and also in his relationships. Continue to bless everything and everyone, whoever he speaks to or touches, Lord. I just pray that he would continue to operate in your power and your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. This is really my honor and privilege to come here to share my heart with you and also a message that God placed in my heart. Well, today's message, the title is Honest Relevance. Ever since I became a Christian 41 years ago, I came across a message, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Basically, it talked about God said that when you honor me, I will honor you. When you despise me, you will be less esteemed. So from that time on, I commit myself to honor God because of his love on me, and I want to return to love him and honor him. Later on, I went across another passage, and then it's Romans chapter 12, 9 to 10. Basically, it said that let love be genuine, a hope what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Now, outdo one another in showing honor. This means that to do more than other people have treated you, and then you honor them. So I learned not only honor God, but we need to honor one another. Well, honoring other people was not new at that time. It was not new to me because I came from an Asian background. My mom had taught me to honor people. But later on, I recognized that the biblical honor is quite different from the modern day's honor. Well, I was taught that no matter you like the person or not, you have to speak kindly to the person and treat that person very politely. And when you see an elderly comes in, and then you need to rise up, even though afterward you say that I hate that person. So there's a separation between the heart and the behavior. But you got to do it right. Have a so-called behavior norm or code of conduct. Now that is what I was taught. And also today, now we are talking about respect and also honor. Basically, these two words are used interchangeably. Respect basically has to do with your performance. You got to do something that meets up with my standard expectation so that you can earn my respect. So it's a performance base and also conditional. Different societies have different value systems. And based on these differences or this value system, we set up a standard or called the social norm, or this is the value, what our culture value about. If you can meet this standard, you gain our respect. If not, we disrespect you. No wonder in different culture or ethnic groups that we find out that the thing that we have been honoring or we have been showing respect, we've been disrespected, lost the respect in other places. Unlike this kind of modern days honoring, the biblical honor is quite different because it just focuses on another thing called worth. Well, prior to I get into the central part of my message, I know that a lot of young people sitting here. So young people like, data, give me the data to support what you're saying, right? All right, so I want to give you a pop quiz. How many times does honor appear in the scripture? All right, you have only four choices other than the golden answer, Jesus, all right? All right, number A is 74. Number two is 145. Number three is 160. Number five is, 551. How many would say that this A is the right answer? Okay. All right, okay, you are really courageous. And you raise up your hand, even though I could tell you that's wrong. I'm sorry. How many would say that? Number B. All right, good. How many would say number three? Okay, good. How many would say that number D? Thank you so much for your support. I see all your hands. How many of you have never raised up your hands? All right, I give you the answer. The answer is not C and not D, but 145. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Oh, but okay, give a high five to the person next to you. You should encourage the person, right? Still making an effort to raise up a hand. Thank you so much for your support. I see your hand, and I feel your support now. All right, now you see that love mentioned 551 times. Well, that you understandable. But for the others, like prayer, like grace and belief, all those are the hot items that we have been talking about. Honor fall into that category. However, honor, relatively speaking, have not been addressed as much as those other three terminology or three concepts. But it is very important. It's so dear in God's heart. Because the original language called kabat, meaning heavy or weighty. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it's talking about honor your father and mother. Now that is the honor using this Hebrews word. But in Psalm 16, verse 9, and also 57, verse 8, this same word was translated into glory. In other words, when God created human beings, He placed His image inside of each man and woman. And God said that, this is my worth. This is my investment. This is my whole being. My DNA is placed inside that person. So each person has a value. However, when we sin against God, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, talked that we all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. It means that after we sin, we have the faded glory. The glory inside of us was falling apart and losing its brightness. But God said that still I have my glory inside the person. There's still the weight, like heavy metal, that in the Old Testament time, ancient time, is really expensive or costly. There's still weight inside of them, inside of their spirit. They are valuable. And also, you have the weight in my heart. I'm all the time thinking about you. Why? You have weight in my heart. So, to put it plainly, is that you occupy a significant weight in my heart, just like all my children and my wife. Other than Jesus Christ, they all have a significant part in my heart. Now it's adding grandchildren. You know that for God, want us to perceive one thing is that we need to value other people's inheritance worth. The person may not perform as we desire, or even underperform, or even did bad things to ISIS, for instance, a very sensitive issue. But God still loved them. God still loved them and saying that there's a certain worth, certain degree of worth in them. And think about someday, they can become Christians. And they will become the evangelist and church planter in those Muslim world and preach for God the gospel to reach out to people that we can never have a chance to come across. You know, speaking about, let's say, pray sounds very simple. Or read the Bible every day sounds very simple. Always said that do good things. Yeah, simple. And what about honor each other? It sounds easy. However, you and I all recognize it. It's just very challenging, because especially it's just dealing with the difficult people or those troubled people or those people that not sitting next to you, but living together with you under the same roof. Because you recognize the person's weaknesses. And then there is from time to time, even your colleague or your classmate, and they could give you a hard time. or have bad temper, or sometimes disappoint you. You know that honor them is very difficult. Yes, we can say it by our lips, but it's difficult to really catch up with our heart. No wonder sometimes that we said that we praise each other or we show respect to each other in a public place. But after we left the place, and then we can hardly catch up with this consistency. Why? Because in my mind, the person is really bad. It falls short of my expectation. I know one thing, that we need to love one another, we need to respect each other, honor each other. But on the other hand, the person doesn't deserve it. Not until we change the picture inside of us. And then to have a new kind of value of that person in our heart, that suddenly the person increased the weight in my heart, or else it would be very difficult for me to really able to show honor to the other party naturally. But I want to share with you four things that I have learned in the last 40 years after I become a Christian. You know, you all know the book of 1 Corinthians addressed a lot of issues. Apostle Paul talked to these people, the church of Corinth, because they really, really have a lot of issues and problems. Then you know that when you receive a letter from Paul like that, a lot of confrontation, a lot of correction. But first thing, then when you open up this Bible, or this epistle, I would say, you will see one, the first principle. It's called see others with the Father's eyes. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4-8. This is ESV. All right, let's read together. I give thanks. Thank you. Well, first of all, when you mention about you guys, or you, actually, it's not pointing at individual. Instead, it's a corporate. Because you mentioned about that you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. And also said that you are not lacking in any gift. Now, every single individual, no matter how many gifts the person can possess, one or more than one, you still cannot possess all kinds of gifts, right? So when Paul mentioned about that, you in all speech or all knowledge, he's basically referred to this team, a body, that consists of so many different people. Each will pick up one aspect or two aspects of speech or knowledge or gifting. That's why when they get together and work together collaboratively, they have no lack in speech, in knowledge, and in gifting. For this reason, Paul said, hey, God designed all of you to work together, not only stay together in the same boat, but work together in order to function well and produce the impact to the communities as God desired. And Paul said that, you know, as you wait for the reveal of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you kidding, Paul? Look at these people. They're really in a bad shape. And even if some immorality practicing in their midst, you said that they are guiltless. Paul said, yes, in the day of our Lord. How could it be? Well, verse 9, shed the light to us. He said that God is faithful, by whom you were called. This was past tense. You were called. It's already done. Into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As long as you stay into the connection with Jesus or fellowship with Jesus, your broken glory will be restored in a process. And then whatever that you're lacking, the fading glory will be gradually coming back to you. God wants to restore all of you until the day the Lord returns. You will become perfect and guiltless. As long as you shine up and stay in this process of connection and fellowshipping with him, he will make it happen. It's not you, but he will make it happen. So God looked at us from a so-called, from our perspective, it's future tense. And then this guy, this woman, would be like my son, Jesus Christ. Perfect. Oh, yeah. Is it true? Angel Michael. Yeah, give me a high five. God was so excited when he see him. See us. I remember several years ago, I went back to my high school, which I have graduated for more than 40 years. And then I went to visit different places. And I remember there was a classroom when I was in grade 3, about 9 years old. After, at the recess, five students dragged a young guy to the aisle. And then we just pick on him and bully him. I still remember it because I was one of the five people, and I was a leader. You don't recognize, right? Now I've become a pastor. And there was a time when two classmates was playing soldier and the knight, and then they passed by, and then I pushed them, and they hit the window and broke the glass. And afterwards, I denied. I didn't do anything. I have no involvement. Well, of course, some witness came up and then said that I was involved, so I get a strike in my record. Oh, there was a time, you know, when I was in junior years in a high school, I cheat. But I was not skillful enough. So I didn't recognize the teacher was approaching. By the time I looked up, oh, the teacher was there. So that the book was there, and then I pushed the book, and it hit the back of that box type of a desk, and then boom. So the whole class realized one thing, Kenneth is cheating. But I thank God. God did not look at all the big bad things that I've done. But at that moment, he knew that someday this guy will become my child, a child of God, and also someday will be used by God, and even will preach to a group of young people, a group of people, and then in Walnut, by the time he reached his birthday, 61st birthday. You know, that really impacted me. I used to be bad. And then I'm trying to be better. But how God looked at me and gave me not more than second chance, the 2051st chance. And then, therefore, I need to look at other people, see them with the Father's heart. When I pray, I learn to pray not for the current situation. No, help that person no longer play the video game and wasting his life. Oh, help that person no longer gossiping. No, I pray that that person would utilize his time to share the gospel and do good. Oh, Lord, use this lady, and then so that her time would share the word of wisdom, and that she is a woman of godliness. You understand that? All the time, seeing others with the Father's eye. Just like Paul, the way that he looked at the church of Corinth. Second thing is that embrace their differences. No one can deny that we're all different, especially in the church of Corinth. It's just like the church here in the United States, like us, an immigrant church. You know, the church of Corinth was originally founded by a Jewish person living in the as a Roman citizen. His name was Paul. So he started with a lot of Jewish people, won them to Christ. Later on, more and more Greek speaking or the local people came to join this church. So the church would become a multi-ethnic church. You can think about even the people coming from the same culture is already have enough opportunity for them to run into trouble and conflicts with each other because of different personality and different experiences, ways of doing things, etc., a different value system. No mention that there are different ethnic groups joining the church. It was very challenging. And but Paul said that I appeal to you in verse 10 and 11. Let's read it together. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to ask you, how many of us here have seen that quarreling happen in the VOH, in our church? Wow, you guys are really brave to raise up your hands. I expect more hands. How many of you have seen quarreling, argument, and struggle inside of VOH, English congregation? How many of you have seen that before? Can I see your hands?
I raise up my both hands for you.
Of course. We have a problem. We have the issue. This part of reality. Right? Even I heard about in my family, quarreling and struggling. Well, there was no fighting. Well, that never been. But that was the case. Paul said that here, I heard about this quarreling among you, my brothers. However, you can make a choice intentionally and agree with each other. You have to do this intentionally. Recognizing there are always differences. The longer you stay together with your spouse or with your siblings, the more tolerance that you can have because you know that. You recognize the reality that you are not able to change the person. Don't waste your time and energy. Try to convince the person. And learn to accept it. But here it said that there is a fundamental things that got to happen. The more commonalities that you have within the group, the easier it is for you to embrace the differences. Which is, here it said the same judgment. This means you need to have the same standard and for you to post the judgment. Same standard, the biblical standard. Now, before, we have different kind of value system. Now, you learn to adjust with each other. Now, when you come to this group, this is our common philosophy of ministry, or philosophy of family. That we will stick with that. For instance, like in my family, I value honor. Because, as I mentioned, not only we honor God, we need to honor each other. So in our family, we need to honor each other. And we need to honor other people. I did not allow my kids to say bad again behind other people. Or even criticize the pastor's preaching, etc. That's the respect. That's the honor that we need to show in front of people or behind the people, even within the close one. In our conversation, we will reflect our heart because that is the culture that we want to establish. Honor each other, starting from our home and starting at my heart. Here, this is my choice, but we need to establish the same standard philosophy of this a family value for this family church. Also, same-minded. This means that we need to have the same direction. When you have a direction, so we want to win the game, then it doesn't matter you have a short guy or big guy or small guy. Some would play the lineman, some would play the role of a running back, and then some would be in a corner and another quarterback. You have the offense team and you have the defense team. We all come together with our differences, but we need to embrace each other because we need each other in order to win the game, right? Where they have the same mind. Winning the game, we can set apart our personal issue or different political differences in our political view at that time. And then all we want to do is that we capture the commonality. That would be enough to move us along. And then embracing, along the line, embracing our differences. From time to time, I still take it as not my responsibility, but my honor to settle some of the dispute within our team, including our leadership, including our staff, or important people in the church. I would like to ask them, bring it up to the table. Whatever happened and happened bad is on me. Because I'm the leader, and I need to take full responsibility before God. God, forgive us and forgive me. The heaven really led the church into the best place is on me. And then, but upon this, I want to demonstrate the humility. And I want this will become, this everybody will come and then share heart with each other. In our, because I have been working with the Chinese congregation, in our Asian culture, we want to save faces. Whenever there's a problem, disagreement, we don't want to talk to each other directly, but we talk behind the people because we can't handle it emotionally. I said that this is not biblical. We want to maintain biblical honor. Doesn't mean that we do not say negative things against each other. But when we make the correction, it's not out of rejection. It will turn out to be condemnation. But when we make the correction out of honor, it will come up as a result of, the end result will be edification. And I want our church, our leaders, our staff, able to be mature enough that not afraid with dealing with the differences. And even the conflicts come out from these differences. But we embrace each other without giving up each other. Or, whoa, I'm going to leave this team. No, you're going to stay. Because if you leave and go to other place, those problems, so conflict, will not, you cannot avoid this because you haven't been transformed and changed by God by making use this process, these circumstances, this environment. Every moment is a learning moment. So see others with the Father's eyes and also embrace the differences. But then you got to move on. As I mentioned, embracing each other is something that's intentional. We have the differences. You got to agree with each other, learn to agree with each other, and then to embrace same mind, and then same judgment. But does it mean that, wow, that would be very difficult to live in an environment like that? It just stressed me out. No, then change your value. Value our different identities and roles. Let me elaborate with you. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, starting, it said that some of you said that I am of Paul, belongs to Paul. Some will say that I belong to Apollos, another gifted teacher at that time. People all the time making comparison between Paul and Apollos. There's also another person called Cephas, that was Peter. And then maybe those Hebrews Christians in that church would want to identify more with Cephas or Peter because he was the 1.0 generation, especially the Jews. So, but Paul said that, now move to chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. Let's read it together. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? This means that you are not that living a spiritual life, but you are just like as a non-believers. Your mindset and your practice is just like that. Now, when they say that I follow Paul or I follow Apollos, did not mean that they honor Paul, nor they honor Apollos. No, they are actually making use of Paul, Apollos, those big guys, and then I hang on to them, and then so that I will be puffed up and then become somebody. I will feel better and better than you are because I'm in the winning team. Now, that was what happening over there. So they are under the competition and jealousy. All this kind of thing, they're causing them to have this kind of division. And Paul said that was no good. Well, how come that you say that I follow Paul, I follow Apollos? You not really care about Paul. You not really care about Apollos. You only care about yourself. But you have a very low self-esteem. That's why you need to check up yourself and then connect to the big guy, the famous person, in order to add value into your self-image. That's wrong. That's how. That's why. The strife and the jealousy come upon. No. Paul said, look at our example. What then is Apollos? There's a verse 5 to verse 9. What is Paul? Servant. Our identity. We are servants. And then the servant through whom you believe. You need us. Because without us, you cannot become you cannot be converted, become Christian, and you cannot become mature Christian. You need Apollos' teaching to guide you through. But you need to, first of all, lead me in order to convert and then born into the kingdom of God. You need both of us. But the Lord assigned us to you. I planted. I have the seed. That's why I planted. Apollos have the water tank. That's why he watered. But God gave the growth. None of us can accomplish this job. Only God can. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. We cannot boast, any one of us, and then make a competition or comparison. No way! We are just a tool used by God. This is our honor to be used by God. But only God who gives the growth. To God be the glory. For we are God's fellow workers. Our identity, we are God's workers. We are the servant. This is our identity. What about our function? My function is through the planting because I have the seed. Apollo's function is watering because he is that water tank. See, once you value your identity, you can spare yourself from making any more competition with other people. Because, you know, I don't need to compete. You know, when I was young, I went swimming. I compete with a lot of people. Most of the time, I lost. And nowadays, I no longer compete with other people because I know that I'm slow. And then I'm getting old. How can I compete with the 20s and 30 people, 30 years people, young people? But now I do it for the sake of, what's that? Making myself healthy and strong. I'm not doing competition. I'm not in the league. See, I don't need to compete with them because I know who I am. But I need to do this in order to keep up my body so that I can have many decades to continue to serve the Lord. See, when you know your identity, I recognize now I'm a person that like a bridge, an equipper, and a bridge people together, an equipper, and an encourager. So I know it. But I may not be a prophet. I may not be someone that very handy. I don't need to compete with other people. See, once you know, you cannot value other people's identity. Everybody needs to discover their own identity. I cannot just simply give you an ID card and say that, now you're so-and-so. No way! You can even get your driver's license. You can get your passport. But without adding to you your self-image. But once you discover who you are, with the grace of God and inspiration from the Holy Spirit, you have the confidence. You have the inner strength. It's up you. You don't need to compare with other people because regardless of what other people said, you know who you are. But then you need to function. We value other people's function. And then we say that we need each other. Brothers and sisters, if you are new to this church, I encourage you to discover your spiritual gift and utilize your spiritual gift and contribute to this body. Because none of us, being placed by God into this body, have no function or no use. Surely, God put us here, every single individual, have our function and a very unique function. Look at all those empty chairs. We still need a lot of people to fill up these chairs. This means that those people were going to contribute to this body something that is we don't have. And then in order for us to thrive and to reach the destiny that God called this church to be and to do, we need more contribution from people with different gifts. So value our different identities and our functions. We need each other. Everybody play. But I want to point to you the four things is put others before ourselves. That is what Paul said about the cross. Let's read it together. Chapter 1, verse 17 to 18. Let's read together. For Christ, and not with words of eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be empty of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perished, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You know, at that moment, Paul was inspired by these people. And then he was an underdog. But Paul, actually, he have enough knowledge and background that make him look better. But he said that, I put you guys in front of me. As long as the power of the cross can demonstrate and is converting power, and also causing many people to get saved. I would rather look foolish and then even despised by other people. I don't care. Because I care. You have the heavier weight inside me. I care for you guys. And then you guys get saved. And even Apollos, he's a great teacher. I want you guys to know the Bible more and more. So let it be. If you compare me and then saying that I'm not that good, no problem. As long as you are good, I am happy. Now that is called the cross. That's called love. That's called honoring God and honoring Apollos, what the share that God gave to them, and honoring each other, those people, and saying that you are valuable. Forget about me. I serve my function. But most important, you. So Paul said, so when we come together and feel like that, how come I wasn't given the honor or the respect that I supposed to have? Huh? I get hurt. I really burnt out here. I want to live. At that moment, you are not denying yourself. The cross was hanging there on the wall, or even the cross is here hanging on your neck, but you are not living up the spirit of the cross. Because the spirit of the cross said that I cannot gain your respect. I cannot earn your respect. It's just given by God, not by you. But I don't care because I have an honor inside me. I have the worth inside me. And I want to honor God, and I want to honor God's church. As long as God's people, they are good, and I fulfill my function to be faithful, I'm happy. I love Jesus, and I love your church, and I love these people. Do you understand how much freedom that is of you and me? Emotional freedom that is of you and me, because my emotion, my self-image was not shaped by you. I'm not defined by other people, but I have been transformed by Jesus. And my value was determined by Christ Jesus. That's why I can bear the cross. Amen! With saying this, let me do these four things in closing. There are times that you need to yield your right, do the yielding. Because this is the easiest way to avoid collision or to avoid conflicts. There is time that our church serve other church and then play the servanthood role, a number two. You know, a lot of time we do not want to play number two. We want to be number one. But in reality, the champions in every league, there's only one championship, one first place. Majority are playing number two, number three, if you're blessed, or else would be number one, number two, the other way around from the bottom. That's the reality. Most of us are losers. Am I correct? So I learned this lesson. So it doesn't matter to be the number two. It's already good. Some people are number 25. So we want to be number two. Our church serve another church. There was a time we have done this. Because Jesus also was number two to serve the Father. So I want to learn yielding. But there was a time we need to do the insisting. No. This is what God calls to do. We just want to stand firm. I remember this building used to be purchased by another church. When they first came in, the group told us that we couldn't find any other places. That's why we need to come in. This is just our office. Don't worry, Pastor. But later on, they turned it into a church and applied for a full-size church of 600 people, 700 people. They said that we have enough parking. At that time, I wanted to say that, okay, because, you know, from our culture, originally came from is everything is polite, right? We yield to each other, right? Biblically, it's yield to God, others. Pastor Bob Fulton, he has been my mentor for decades. But also, like our honorable board member, he said that you shouldn't say that. You should say no to them because it's not healthy. You are prolonging the potential problems because ultimately the parking will become a problem and then the two churches will fight against each other. Don't do that. Say it. So we say it. And then we was misunderstood. Other party, of course, saying that you have no love. You know, you didn't treat us with honor. When you want to insist, insisting is the hardest way to keep harmony while you want to stay in God's way. At that moment, I knew that this is from God. But we need to keep on insisting. people may misunderstand us and think that you do not honor the other church. But you need to bear the cross. You understand that? Sometimes you need to yield. Sometimes you know this is the will of God. You need to insist. Unfortunately, in the process, and then even we have people went to the public hearing, and then our representative didn't really do well. I need to on me. And then that make it's the thing look bad because we said, oh, we are against, and then in front of the city council, we shouldn't do that. And so I apologize to the other church. Because apologizing is the shortest way to mend the broken relationship. But there was time. I mean, people were so mad at us. There's no use. But then another thing, another emotion pop up. And then we were angry. We ourselves were angry too. Because that church took advantage from us. You know that just like you squeeze in our backyard and say that, hey, you have an empty backyard, right? No problem, right? Let us build our own house. And then we eliminate or kill our potential of growth. Then this means we have no more parking space in the future for the village to grow. You are not showing, you're not honoring us in return. But then the Lord, when this kind of emotion pop up, and then the Lord just impressed me, forgiving. Because forgiving is the longest way to extend the Father's love to the particle. In other words, like the particle son trying to get home, but dare not to come home. But you need to do the forgiving. The Father, heavenly, the Father in the particle son story, you know, walked a long way waiting for the son and even run in the last mile to catch up with the son, to extend his love before the son decided to quit and then turn away from the way of coming home. So we decided to forgive. And to forgive. Ultimately, after years, one day I have an opportunity. We went, the senior pastor of that church and us went to the same conference. After the pastor heard my sharing, the pastor came to give me a hug and we reconciled. And then later on, we went to a restaurant. We eat together, we reconcile again, because for Chinese eating is very important. And then I want to tell you one thing. We have this building because of the great help by that church. That church really helped us and helped us to process. So we are standing upon the foundation of the blessing of reconciliation. And I want to tell you this is called the power of honoring. So honoring, I want to close with this. It's about the spirit of the cross. Ultimately, without that, you have only the first three things. Oh, seeing each other from God's perspective. Oh, it's all that we're embracing the difference. Oh, value our identity, other people's function. They're still here, but it's never come from here. Only when you said that, when it just comes to a conflict with me, against me, I'm willing to surrender. And all glory to God, because I honor God. And I want to honor other people above me. When you're able to do that, sometimes you need to do the yielding, sometimes you need to do the insisting, sometimes forgiving, sometimes apologizing. Ultimately, when it comes to reconciling, that's the best way to demonstrate the spirit of the cross. And to this, I want to close. My brothers, my sister, someone would say, I hate this family. I may use this word, hate, too much. But you may say that, I just feel hurt in this family. I just don't know even know why I'm coming here. And then you say that I'm very frustrated with the leadership, or sometimes that I'm disappointed with the church, or whatever. But today I want to encourage you. Let's put it in a full stop. Let's do a closing. Let's look at life and look at the church life. Look at this family differently. This is imperfect. And we all have differences. But we need to get out. You make use of these differences and even a conflict to grow up and learn more about bearing the cross and learn more about humility. You know, the funny thing is, in chapter 13, is the famous chapter of love. How did it come out? It came out from the setting of the Church of Corinth, full of problems. But out of this setting, it grows the love to be mature. God wants us to say that, no. Look at another perspective. When the Lord reigns here, what does we should look like? We are a church going to produce a lot of leaders. That's why we have the training track. We are a church going to bring many people home. We are a church going to impact and bring blessing to the community. We are a church drawing people to here, receive the honor and honoring each other, and we go out to honor the city. And even someday, we go to the far, far land, like Iraq, to honor the Yazidi people, or those girls being raped, and those people and being despised, and at the age of being genocided, and we need to honor them. Tell them that we're not only speaking to you the love of Jesus, we are showing you the love of Christ. Amen! And this is the calling. Hallelujah. Worship team, will you come up here? I just want to call us to pray while everybody close our eyes. Have you been hurt by the church? You could have the name called VUH or other churches. But today, God calls us to forgive. God calls us to change our eyeglasses. God calls us to look at life and look at our past and even look at the people around us or the church family with God's, the Father's perspective. Will you? You may have a lot of frustration or anger or thinking about switch church, but here today, God called you. I place you here. This is your home. When you see a lot of problems, I'm so thankful for you because you are the one. You are our fresh eye. A lot of issues that we haven't noticed, but you're the one that's able to catch it. Thank you for sharing these problems with us. But maybe you pray to God, you are the part of the solution too. And you become our solution. Help. Help this family to make it more perfect. Lovingly honor each other. And how does the VOH look like in the future? God gives us such an honor and privilege to become an area church. And then we have a responsibility to empower others too. But we need you. We need different gifts. Never have it before. We need to increase our scope, our scale, our altitude, our magnitude, so that we can serve others. Please, I implore you to join this family, to contribute your part. So Heavenly Father, for those who have been hurt and frustrated and worn down, I pray for a fresh anointing. Today, let this forgiveness come from our heart. Let this transform a value, a new look would come upon us so that we can value everything different. We know our identity. Help us to discover our identity and release to us a more valuing other people's role so that we will become a beautiful team. Thank you, Lord. And for us, those people who are newly come, we welcome you. We need you. Your part. God brought you here because this church is missing certain things. And you are the answers, are the ingredients that need to add into this body so that we will become stronger. Will you make a commitment? Or would you pray to God that He will release you the spiritual gift or passion or whatever talents or experience you have to bless this body? Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all rise. Amen.